Skagway Assembly candidates agree that the port is the number one priority, and two people are charged with violations during the Haines area subsistence moose hunt. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Three of the 26 moose harvested during Haines' recent subsistence hunt were sublegal. One of those sublegal kills has led to hunting violation charges against two people. According to an Alaska State Troopers dispatch, Truman Philbrick of Wasilla and Mary Stickler of Haines were issued misdemeanor citations for violations troopers say took place September 19th. Philbrick is charged with taking a bull moose without the required permit. Stickler is charged with unlawful possession and transportation of big game. Troopers also seized a rifle that was used in the harvest and say additional charges are pending. The hunter's arraignment is scheduled for October 18th. Moving forward with harbor contamination cleanup and improvements on Skagway's waterfront is the most important priority for the town. That's the consensus from the three candidates for two open Skagway Borough Assembly seats. At a KHNS forum Monday, candidates David Brenna, Tim Cochran, and Orion Hansen expressed similar views on many issues, but each candidate brings different experience that shapes his outlook. Of the three candidates, there is one incumbent, Tim Cochran, who is campaigning for his third three-year term on the Assembly.
I feel a little bit of an obligation to give back to the town I grew up in.
The two challengers, David Brenna and Orion Hansen, say they would bring a different kind of scrutiny to the Assembly. Hansen, a general contractor, says he has experience distinguishing the frivolous from the necessary.
I think that's something that we haven't always had, those kinds of eyes on the Assembly of someone who can look at as a project and analyze things that are perhaps not needed and wasteful.
Brenna, a real estate developer, says he would bring real estate appraisal experience to the waterfront conundrum. Progress on the port was stalled last year when voters rejected a tidelands lease that was negotiated between the municipality and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad.
This is a glaring hole in the negotiations that have occurred throughout the last 8 years, in that they haven't ordered or completed a market value analysis of the waterfront.
Cochran was on the Assembly while municipality representatives negotiated the now rejected lease with White Pass. He says things are moving in the right direction now. The Assembly has agreed to hire an independent port consultant.
Residents here that are serving on the Assembly, no one's an expert on the whole waterfront and the complexities, and we need help, and we need to admit that.
Along with Brenna and Hansen, Cochran agrees that there should be an analysis of what the waterfront property in question is worth.
It needs to be assessed, and we need to go forward, and we need to be transparent, for sure.
The topic of transparency was first brought up by Hansen. He's made it one of his main campaign issues. He says going forward in port discussions, transparency is crucial. He says the lease between the municipality and White Pass that was proposed last year was a bad deal, but Hansen thinks that shouldn't preclude further efforts to engage with the railroad.
I don't think you look ahead past negotiating with White Pass. I think you have to find common ground, and if you can't, well, then in 2023 you go from there. But there's such a long history with White Pass, and they're so invested in this community, and so many people work for White Pass. I would not be alive if we're not for White Pass.
Cochran agreed that the Assembly needs to re-engage with White Pass.
The railroad is the reason that Skagway stayed on the map.
When asked what the municipality should do when the current lease with the railroad ends in 2023, the candidates all said it was too early to tell. Some residents have pushed for the municipality to form a port authority or something similar that would manage the waterfront property currently leased by the railroad. Although Brenna has made his disdain for last year's proposed lease extension clear, he didn't rule out prolonging the town's arrangement with White Pass.
We need to flesh out these scenarios, and especially toward the public's opinion on whether or not there should be a monopoly on the waterfront or not. And if the question is, if the answer is no, there shouldn't be, then maybe, you know, the municipality, either through a port authority of its own or a contract port authority, maybe that's a scenario.
Brenna says those are options that need to be economically analyzed. He says Skagway needs to keep its eye on the ball, cleaning up contamination and building infrastructure to keep the cruise ships coming.
I mean, we talk a lot about economic diversity, but 90 probably plus percent of our economy is based on cruise ships and tourism.
Along with the assembly and school board races, Skagway residents will also vote on a ballot question next week. The question asks whether residents support a $6 million bond for a senior center and housing facility. The tentative plan is to pay for that bond debt by raising property taxes. Here's Hansen.
I think a senior center is overdue. For a town with the resources Skagway has, to have no sort of senior center at all, to share it with a daycare where they have to move out of, is we've really missed the boat on that.
Brenna says he's not opposed to the senior center, but he would prioritize port projects when it comes to funding. All the candidates say they're concerned about Skagway's bonding debt level. This project would bring it to about $26 million. But Cochran says ultimately he would follow the voters' will on the senior center question. The election takes place October 4th. You can listen to the full candidate forum at khns.org. Candidates for state office representing Southeast Alaska suggest a wide range of approaches to fixing the state's multi-billion dollar budget crisis. Joe Vicknicki reports from Southeast Conference in Petersburg.
Five candidates for state office appeared on a legislative panel hosted by Southeast Conference during that organization's annual meeting in Petersburg. They aren't all the candidates running for office in the region. The candidates were asked what they saw as the right balance of new revenues for the state. Ketchikan State Representative Dan Ortez, an independent who caucused with the House minority, called it a travesty that the legislature didn't come up with a fiscal plan.
We're going to have to look at permanent fund earnings as a source of revenue, at least in the short term, for our operating budget, which means we need to restructure the permanent fund.
Ortez also thought the best of some bad alternatives is an income tax and said he'd prefer that over a sales tax. He thought the state would have to look for other revenue and also continue to cut spending. One of Ortez's opponents for the House District 36 seat, Ketchikan Republican Bob Sievertson, did not put too much stock in an income tax.
Prosperity isn't gauged at how well the bureaucracy is doing it, but it's private business. We need to get out of the way. We're going to have to use our natural resources as a big part of this long term.
Sievertson thought it would be a multi-year process to fix the budget. Constitution Party candidate Kenneth Shaw is also running for that House seat, representing Ketchikan and Wrangell. Another candidate for state House, Sitka Republican Sheila Finkenbinder, is seeking the District 35 seat, representing Sitka, Petersburg, and most of Prince of Wales Island and a number of smaller villages.
I've been listening to my constituents, or not yet constituents, voters. When we're talking about taxes, they are preferring an income tax if it comes to that over a sales tax.
Finkenbinder also thought the state would have to restructure the permanent fund and promote new business to bring in more money to Alaska. Finkenbinder is challenging incumbent Democrat Jonathan Christ-Tompkins for that seat. He had a prior engagement and did not appear at the legislative panel. Juneau Democrat Sam Keto III told the gathering that the legislature would not be able to make significant reductions in spending for some of the largest pieces of the state budget without significant negative impacts to the state's economy. He suggested capping the permanent fund dividend and using the fund's earnings would help cover a big part of the state's budget deficit.
What the governor has put forward puts a lot of components and tools on the table that we can use in the legislature to figure out how we're going to identify or divide up that revenue stream so that we can have a real discussion about what our state's going to look like in 5 or 10 years. And if we don't do something this year, I think most people have said, and I agree, that we end up in a situation where we could very well send our state's economy into a recession.
Kito is running unopposed for a seat representing Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.